Hello, my name is Reagan, and welcome to the Twisted States Podcast. Thank you for joining us in our first episode of Season 1 of the Twisted States Podcast, where we take a deeper look state by state at some of America's most nefarious killers, elusive cryptids, and bizarre mysteries. This week, we're going to dig into, no pun intended, one of the most long-running and intriguing legends in Arizona history, the Lost Dutchman Mine. By 1977, Southwestern folklore author and researcher Bird Howell Granger was able to identify 62 variants of the Lost Dutchman story, but the most recognized are as follows. Dr. Thorne's Mine, or the Lost Apache Gold, Tales of the Dutchman's Lost Mine, or Stories of the Soldier's Lost Gold Vein. There are even variants that include all of these elements. So, get comfy, grab a snack and a beverage, kick up your feet, and let's get started. Unless you're like driving in traffic or something. Oh, God, please don't kick up your feet. Anyway, okay, here we go. The Superstition Mountains have long been shrouded in mystery and considered sacred land, inhabited by various tribes over time, and eventually becoming an Apache stronghold in the 1800s. Long before the Lost Dutchman legend began, Spanish conquistadors led by Francisco Vázquez de Coronado attempted to search the region of the Superstition Mountains for the rumored seven golden cities of Cibola. Learning from natives in the area that the mountains did indeed hold gold, the Spaniards were determined to explore the area, despite repeated warnings by locals. Needless to say, after many mysterious disappearances and bodies later being found mutilated, the conquistadors fled and gave up their search. A century and a half later, Jesuit priest Eusebio Francisco Kino, whose objective was to establish missions and Christianize area tribes, was lured by tales of gold and riches. In the first decade of the 1700s, he began to explore the region, finding several sources of gold. Though no one knows if he found the fabled Dutchman's mine, his forays were fruitful, adding more fuel to the legend of the gold and the superstitions and further enraging tribes in the area. During the 1840s, the Peralta family of northern Mexico was rumored to have developed rich gold mines in the superstitions. Their last expedition to carry gold back to Mexico occurred in 1848. According to legend, the large party was ambushed by Apache, and only one or two Peralta family members managed to escape into Mexico. This area is known today as the Massacre Grounds. Now, the majority of this telling of the story is going to be centered around Jacob Waltz, because there's actually a lot of records that kind of help validate a lot of the portions of the story that involve Waltz and many of the things that happened after his passing. So Jacob Waltz, according to documents, was born near, I'm going to butcher this, Oberschwandorf, Württemberg, Germany, around 1810. There were no baptismal or church records to support this, but his age on several census records does. He immigrated to America about 1839, arriving first in New York City. Waltz then traveled to the goldfields of North Carolina and Georgia. There are some discrepancies here with a possible partner named Jacob Weiser mentioned. Still, it's thought that Weiser changed his name to the more Americanized Waltz shortly after migrating to the U.S. from Germany. So they're basically one and the same. Waltz arrived in Meadow Creek, North Carolina, hoping to stake a claim and strike it rich, but the Meadow Creek area had been well established by the time he arrived. Like many foreigners, he had been misinformed about the area. He likely moved on to Doheny, Georgia, hoping to find work or a vein of gold to work. From Georgia, he traveled to Natchez, Mississippi. The goldfields of North Carolina and Georgia had taught Waltz he had to be a citizen of the United States to stake a gold mining claim. Realizing this, Waltz filed his letter of intent to become a citizen of the United States on November 12, 1848, in the Adams County Courthouse in Natchez, Mississippi. Waltz soon made plans to travel west, arriving in the gold fields of California around 1850. On July 19, 1861, in the Los Angeles County Courthouse, Jacob Waltz became a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. Waltz moved to Arizona as a miner and prospector in 1863. In the 1870s, Jacob Waltz, a.k.a. the Dutchman, was said to have located the mine through information given to him by Dr. Abraham Thorne. Dr. Thorne was an Army doctor at Fort McDowell. According to accounts, McDowell earned the trust of Apache in the area by supplying medical treatment to tribe members. In return, he was blindfolded and taken to a location of a large gold cache in the mountains. After being led to the site once, legend states that McDowell could not get it out of his mind and was eventually ambushed while returning to the site and killed. Another tale says he was given the location by a Peralta descendant he befriended while working in the area. Despite no solid proof of any such findings, Waltz reportedly would regularly show up in Phoenix with saddlebags full of gold ore, then quickly disappear back into the Superstition Mountains. He did this over the span of about a decade. Waltz did have a few different claims on the registry, but still, if anyone asked him the location details of where he was mining such rich ore, he would give cryptic and contradictory statements about where and how he was acquiring his gold. Nevertheless, he made a good life for himself with a lovely homestead and was said to have a decent amount of gold ore in his possession at the time of his death. In 1880, two soldiers recently discharged from Fort McDowell showed up looking for work at the Silver King Mine. Although they had in their possession some gold ore reportedly found as they were making their way through the Superstition Mountains, they also reported spying an old mine. As a result, the manager of Silver King Mine, Aaron Mason, bought the ore from them and agreed to go into a partnership with them to return to the Superstition Mountains. Sure that they could find the place, the two traveled towards Weaver's Needle, but after 2 weeks, still hadn't returned, Mason sent out a search party, who found the nude bodies of both men shot in the head. In 1891, Waltz became ill after a storm caused considerable flooding at his homestead and perished due to pneumonia. While on his deathbed, Jacob Waltz allegedly told the woman caring for him at the time, a neighbor, a woman by the name of Julia Thomas, that there was a fortune in gold in the Superstition Mountains. He also gave her directions to his mine. Thomas reached out to two brothers, Reinhardt and Herman Petrask, for help in locating his mine based on the clues left by Waltz. Unfortunately, after several weeks in the mountains, Thomas and the Petrasks returned to Phoenix empty-handed and broke. Not to be outdone, Julia Thomas set about creating and selling several maps with misinformation on them, hoping to compensate for her losses. The Petrask brothers and their father continued the hunt for Waltz's mine for the rest of their lives, never quite giving up on the hopes of finding the gold. A reporter got wind of this hidden treasure. Freelance writer and lost mine hunter Pierpont C. Bicknell's article in the San Francisco Chronicle on January 13, 1895, telling the tale of the Lost Dutchman Mine, was commonly believed to be based on an interview by Julia Thomas. The main reason for this thought is that many of the clues to the mine's possible location parallel the clues Julia Thomas most often alluded to. So, let's fast forward just a little bit. It's now the summer of 1931. 66-year-old Adolph Ruth heads out into the mountains to search for the mine that his son Irwin Ruth had told him about several years before. Summer. Such a bad choice of time of year. But anyway, he did it. He goes out. Sadly, he's never seen alive again. 6 months after he headed out, some hikers came across his skull with bullet holes in it. His body was nowhere in sight. And finally, in January of 1932, the rest of Adolph Ruth was discovered. Despite many people speculating, Ruth had done himself in after being stranded in the harsh wilderness on his search for treasure. When his body was found, it was noted that his weapons had not been fired and the map that he had set out with was not there. News of foul play surrounding Ruth's death only helped shine a spotlight on and deepen the mystery of the Lost Dutchman Mine. In 1945, a book called Thunder God's Gold, written by John Griffith Clemenson, included tales of having narrowly escaped a mysterious sniper, dubbed by Clemenson to be Mr. X. Storm further speculated that Adolph Ruth might have been a victim of the same sniper. An excerpt from One Man's Dream, Air Rescue, written by Tom Collenburn, recounts, "It was 1947 when another prospector disappeared in the Superstition Mountains of Arizona. James A. Cravey, a retired Phoenix photographer, vanished from his camp deep in the mountains. Cravey had hired a helicopter from the Arizona Helicopter Service in Phoenix to fly him to a secret location in LaBarge Canyon on June 3, 1947. Charles Marthens, a pilot for the Arizona Helicopter Service, had dropped Cravey off at a predetermined location and planned to return 2 weeks later to pick him up. He could not find Cravey when he returned, so he reported him missing to the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Lynn Early organized a search for James A. Cravey. This trip was the first time a helicopter was used for a prospecting venture when he dropped him off. And then, in the Superstition Wilderness. And then it was also one of the first times that a helicopter was used for a search and rescue in the area. And the same helicopter was used unsuccessfully to search for James A. Cravey. Marthens used his helicopter for several hours trying to locate Cravey, but failed. The search for Cravey continued on the ground, led by Sheriff Lynn Early. The search for Cravey continued for several weeks, again without success. Finally, First Lieutenant Clifford Gibson, Arizona National Guard, searched several hours for Cravey on July 4, 1947, but failed to find any sign. So, he was never recovered as far as I was able to find. Throughout the 20th century, various expeditions and individuals continued to search the Superstitions for the Lost Dutchman Mine. Oklahoma City private detective Glenn McGill, who organized multiple excursions in the late 1960s and early 70s, claimed at least two occasions to identify the location of the mine, later to concede he was either mistaken or the sites were played out or bereft of gold. McGill's adventures were chronicled in the book The Killer Mountains by Kurt Gentry. In late November or early December 2009, Denver, Colorado resident Jesse Kappen, 35, went missing in the Tonto National Forest. His campsite and car were found abandoned shortly afterward. He was obsessed with finding the mine for several years and had made previous trips to the area. Kappen's body was discovered by search and rescue in November of 2012, wedged into a crevice. The program Disappeared covered this case and also mentioned some others that had gone missing while searching for this mine in the episode The Dutchman's Curse. On July 11th, 2010, Utah hikers Curtis Merworth, 67, Arden Charles, 62, and Malcolm Meeks, 51, went missing in the Superstition Mountains looking for the mine. Merworth got lost in the same area in 2009, requiring a rescue. On July 19th, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department halted search efforts for the lost men. They presumably died in the summer heat. In January 2011, three sets of remains, believed to be Merworth, Charles, and Meeks, were recovered. Many have sought the alleged treasure hidden in the Superstition Mountains, with a reported approximate 6,000 people a year still searching. I'm amazed when I was researching this at how many people actually do go out and look. And there's also several other iterations of this story. There's a lot. It's a very rich story with a lot of people have taken it and ran with it. It's very fascinating though, and I was really intrigued by like how many different tales there were and how many people really put their lives in just like in the hands of just pure fate to go out and battle the desert to try to find this. And laws have changed now, so you can't, like, there's no prospecting, there's no mining in that region anymore. It's all protected, it's all part of a national park, and they've changed all of the, regulations and things like that. So even at this point, like, if somebody went out there and they found like this rich gold mine, it was completely loaded with gold, it would just have to sit there because it can't be mined legally at this point. But that still doesn't stop people from looking. Nobody's fully willing to give up on trying to find the Lost Dutchman's mine. So there you have it. This is my first episode, which means I sound really awkward and I feel really awkward, but I'll get back used to recording again and we'll do better. It's just going to take me some time, but I just want to say thank you for hanging out. And it's a relatively short episode because I'm just getting back into the swing of things as far as like recording and hearing my own voice and all of that fun stuff. And I've been putting this off because of this really fight with perfectionism and wanting everything to be exactly spot on and perfect. But I'm done with that attitude. I just want to put something out and make it better as I go along and hopefully get some feedback from any of you that might happen to actually listen and listen for this long. And we'll see what's going on. So check me out. There's also a website, twistedstates.com, which will take you to my Buzzsprout right now. And like I said, this is my first episode, but we've got a lot more to cover because there are plenty of really interesting things out there. And if you have any suggestions, please don't hesitate to reach out. And once again, I'll have all my social media links and everything over at twistedstates.com. So please check it out, and I will see you next time. Thanks for joining me. Bye.